Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 149 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by co-host Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment, going over some recent trailer drops, and then confirmation about Dune and its future theatrical release. Then we're going to move over into tech, giving an update to the Colonial Pipeline hack, discuss a little cryptocurrency, a major media merger, and a little bit of space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right. And episode 149. Here we are. I actually have a working microphone.
Anybody who's
been paying attention for the last last couple weeks, this is back to normal quality. So
if you can't promise anything for the content. If you sent in any complaints, I don't read that shit, so we wouldn't have known anyways.
But if you listened to the last two and you're back for this one, hey, thanks. thanks for enduring. And let's keep going with a little bit of entertainment news. Not a lot going on. Still sad, right? Still sad to be in May and not be talking about any significant things in entertainment. We've got a little bit of hope, Quiet Place 2.
I got my tickets
trailers
for
and stuff. Yeah. That's moving ahead. We've got some movies, hitting out the theaters. I think they finally are really settled. We're moving towards Fast 9 and all those other things. So we're moving towards regular summer kind of slate, just a little light. But we got some new trailers this week, and I guess we could talk about Snake Eyes first. And I guess this is a G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah, it was very Asian. It was very I don't understand how this plays into the United States Armed Forces. But it looks like a Fast and Furious ninja movie.
Yeah, very much. I imagine it's going to be kind of on that level of movie. Probably not even Fast and Furious quality. It's going to probably be a step below that. And just hope that it's crazy enough action scenes to entertain enough people to call it a marginal success. And I guess I didn't even know this was a thing being made.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere for me.
Are there that many people that are still G.I. Joe fans? That are going out that we need to revisit these characters and
tell
their
backstories?
They're
on Fast and Furious 9, bro. There's a target audience somewhere out there. I don't know these people. I don't hang out with these people. But if you've seen that Fast and Furious 9 trailer, if people are going to pay to go see that movie, they're for sure going to this Snake Eyes movie. whatever crowd that is, that's who's going. Beer drinking on a pontoon boat crowd. I don't know.
And this left me with some serious questions. If this movie, if this movie is profitable, let's say it hits 80 million in the box office or something like that, which probably is enough to just break even and make profit. Does that mean there's more G.I. Joe backstories to be told? Are they making a G.I. Joe verse? Is there a Joe verse happening?
It says in the headline, G.I. Joe origins, there's going to be more.
That's what I'm saying. Are we now? And like I said, again,
who are these
G.I. Joe fans that know all of these old characters and are just waiting to hear the backstories?
If this movie does take place in the Fast and Furious universe. If they're all if the G.I. Joe verse is in the FF9 verse, every absurd movie like this should all be in one universe. Throw the G.I. Joes in there, throw the Fast and Furiouses and all the Expendables. Just all these movies should just be in one universe and give me an Infinity War-esque movie with them all in it, and I will pay to see that. Pay to see that.
I mean, you're an 80s kid. Tell me, what G.I. Joe character are you waiting to get a backstory on? Can you name any of them?
Sergeant Slaughter.
I guess. Okay.
Sergeant Slaughter. You tried to call me out, and I got, fuck you, pal.
You only picked him because he's WWF.
He's the one I had the action figure of. Dude had the aviators, the hat. Yeah, man. I was a Sergeant Slaughter fan. What was the other one? Bulldog? Wasn't it a bulldog? I'm pretty sure.
I just pick some kind of patriotic theme and go with it. Yeah.
Just think of whatever Top Gun call sign you can think of. I'm sure it was a G.I. Joe character. I don't know, man. Like I said, it's those crazy uber special effects and the outrageous, you know, like wire running moves. Yeah. and shit. Like, yeah, there's some people that just really shut it off, drool at the mouth, and go in the theater and love this shit. I don't know who that is, but
do it at the theater. I'll sometimes just turn on something like this, I guess, in the background. There's the occasional time that I'll do this, but yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm curious. It's funny that this came out of nowhere. I did not know this was a thing. So yeah, whatever. Maybe we'll get a bunch of G.I. Joe movies that are all really marginal successes and build upon each other.
It is funny with all the movie news that comes out of like pushbacks and like how COVID affected, like we've been hearing about every movie that's hitting the theater for the last like year and a half because they've all been in the can. And then this one just like is the weed that grows out of the crack of the sidewalk that's just like, hey, look at me.
Yeah. I wonder how long it's been done too. You know what I mean? How long have I been sitting on Snake Eyes being like, oh, fuck.
they've had it in the can for a year and a half, and they've just been delaying it, but they didn't even tell anybody they're delaying it. Like, yeah. I know, no one's going to care. Like, we're
best
just
case scenario, they're hoping for $50 million on, like, a normal box office, and now they're like, oh, son of a bitch. Like,
they'll make enough on the Chinese market or something to justify this shit, because, like, that's what I got a feeling of, is, like, overseas, like, in India, this is, like, a huge hit. In Uzbekistan they love this shit, you know. Like, so they released it in America for like the icing on the cake, but the real money is in Kazakhstan. That's where we really rake it in.
All right, well, we just went way harder on Snake Eyes than ever intended, and that goes to show there's not a lot going on right now, guys. So if we could shit on a trailer about an obscure G.I. Joe movie for 7 minutes, we're doing it. Let's shit on more trailers.
Let's shit on more trailers, yes.
Venom 2.
This thing looks horrible.
It looks like trash.
Horrible.
I somewhat enjoyed the first one. I know you hated the first one.
Yeah, it was garbage.
I didn't like the acting, but the movie in general was entertaining
to me.
Worst
stunt team I've ever seen in my life.
And it's like, I don't know why, like, you know, I don't know why Tom Hardy decided to act
What is he doing?
It's I just don't understand it. Like, he's not a terrible actor.
No, like, and this really hurts because I just finished all of Peaky Blinders. And like, he's great in Peaky Blinders. Like, he's great in Peaky Blinders. And then like, I turn on this trailer and I'm like, oh yeah, you're in this. And like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, it's that character.
You're in this.
Like, yeah, I just don't get why he's just so terrible about it. And then, like, the way you cut up a trailer really says like how you want this movie portrayed, and the whole fact that they spent
doing
the first
like a Laurel and Hardy
seconds,
bit, like,
yeah, making with the Venom making breakfast and cracking jokes and stuff out of his back, and I was just like, this is who you're trying to appeal to, like. You're
this
watching
is what
success.
You held out for Marvel for? Like, this is what you fought with Marvel about?
And I think they showed that trailer to like Kevin Feige because, you know, last week I think the news came out that like Venom is absolutely not a part of the MCU. And I think like they showed this trailer and Kevin Feige was like, yeah, no thanks. Like, you guys, Sony, we're not even on the negotiating table. We do not care about the rights of Venom.
it's like Marvel is this like nice, sleek, clean lined sports car, and then Sony's just like, let's put this giant fucking spoiler on it, huh? This would look great, a 6-foot spoiler arch. Like, no, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. We're gonna opt out of that feature. It just does not look good. They showed a little bit of Carnage. You know, like, I am a big Woody fan, and he,
I know,
like, but, yeah, like,
and I bet you, I know it. In the few scenes that he is in, and not like just speaking through some weird CGI Carnage, which actually looks okay, right? Like, the CGI looks okay. I'm sure Woody Harrelson does phenomenal in it. But I
kind of have a feeling this is like actors trolling us. Like, this is like Tom Hardy saying, watch how bad of a movie I could be in and still have a career. And then Woody's like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? You want to know how much people love me? Watch this. They're just trying to make the worst shit they possibly can and still save their careers.
I actually think Woody will turn out a solid performance. Whatever. He could play a deranged,
Natural Born Killers is still one of my favorite movies of all time.
I think he's going to do just fine. I still don't understand what Tom Hardy's doing. I don't like how you could just like embody walking boredom. I guess that's a skill.
Yeah, his whole vibe in that trailer is like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
Yeah,
like at any moment he's just gonna look at the camera and be like, help me, like save me, get me out of here.
I just feel bad for like his wife if he was really like a method actor and he actually like lived his life like that for a year. Fucking poor woman living with such a lifeless, worthless personality.
Daniel Day-Lewis Venom. And every day just comes home like someone shitting his cereal. Wife, will you please stop? two bad movies, folks, coming right at you.
Not even giving it a chance.
Fuck your straight HD. You could go straight to streaming. I'm still not going to watch it. Like, you can, like, actually, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to shit on it.
I was going to say,
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to shit all over them.
Absolutely going to watch Venom 2. I probably won't watch Snake Eyes, but I probably will still watch Venom 2 because I loved Venom. Like, the character of Venom, loved it as a kid. I still want to see it. I want to see the CGI. I want to see what the carnage, and I want to see the big carnage battle axe hands and all the other nonsense
that Carnage does. I'm sure there have been worse renditions, but like we talked about this with like Drax last week about how Batista was upset that they just did nothing with this like good character. Like, what other characters have they just like totally shit on and ruined? Like Venom, like this is not your Venom. Like, I watched Infinity War the other day because it was on all day on TBS. And
you watched it with commercials?
Yeah, because it was just background noise. It's just background noise. Kids were playing. Like, I was doing other shit. It was just background noise. And every time I looked up and watched the TV, I saw, the dude in the Hulkbuster suit fighting. Like, and I just started thinking about it. And like, they shit on Drax, but they fucking ruined Hulk.
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going.
They fucking ruined Hulk. Like, they're ruining Venom. Like, they are on a tear lately, and I'm trying to think of what other comic characters they have absolutely fucking ruined like this. I'm sure there's more. Drop them in the Cantina group for us.
I was gonna say, we should just put that as a Fight Me Friday or something.
When we release the episode tomorrow, let's put a little
like, ask that question.
Yeah, ask that question out, because I can't think of them right now, but I'm sure there's plenty. And then as everybody's shitting on them, I'm like, yep, that person's shitty.
Yeah, oh, there's absolutely plenty. I think we could probably talk for a couple minutes and just pick out people in like the X-Men franchise that just didn't pan out.
Faggy's not clean. Faggy's hands are not clean. Like, he murdered a couple childhood favorites.
But that's we'll put that to a poll out in the Cantina Facebook group over there, over at thenerdcantina.com/community, and let's see what comes about it. Maybe we'll recap next week. But let's
move to straight to streaming.
Some news. And that's, there was a lot of questions around Dune and what kind of release they were going to have. The director, Denis Villeneuve, he was not a fan of any kind of straight to streaming decisions being made for Warner Brothers. He was very vocal about that up front. And then with like the limited success that we saw with Kong versus Godzilla, and there was the rumors that, that did pretty well in the box office. It's kind of proving that, hey, box office is somewhat sustainable again. And there were rumors that Dune was going to, Warner Brothers was going to go back on their decision to release all of 2021 movies simultaneously on HBO Max. Well, it was tweeted out today that they are not going back on that decision. Dune will release simultaneously on HBO Max along with the theaters. So I'm sure Denis Villeneuve is not happy about that. Going to be upset about that decision continuing. But it looks like it's the direction it's heading.
I don't understand why they released that rumor to begin with. Like, were they just testing the waters? Like, with society starting to put the masks away and we're starting to roll out, I went to a baseball game a week ago. Like, we're starting to get back to almost maximum capacities. I want to say the sports stadiums are going to like 60%, and it's just really weird that they would hint that they were going to go back to a normal thing and then just pull the rug out from under them. And I just don't see the benefit to pissing off these producers and directors by doing this when it can be beneficial to you to just release it. Do the 3-week delay like a lot of other places. And who was it just released that they're going to wait 60 days, is it, for the...
The reduced theater theatrical release time. I'm trying to think what movie that was.
I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was Disney said that they were gonna release it 60 days after, to have a shortened theater time, which is fine to me. Like, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a fine middle ground, especially, the theatrical release timeline was always so long. Cutting that down to the 45 days, I was even fine. Remember they were talking about doing like a 14-day window. And being that short.
I always said 3 weeks. If you haven't seen it in the theater in 3 weeks, you're probably not going to go to the theater to see it. So go ahead and release it however you want. I say just give them 3 weeks.
Yeah. And, in the end, we're not getting that. We're not getting any semblance of these things here. So right now, HBO Max and Warner still sticking together on this continued decision. But I think... Maybe there's something to be said about, hey, they made a statement, they made a commitment to releasing simultaneously in 2021. They're sticking to it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, though. This really hurts my motivation to write reviews, because a lot of people wait till midnight, and stream it at midnight. So when I wake up in the morning, people are already shitposting about these movies. And it's like, now I'm going to take the couple hours out of my time to actually put some intelligent thoughts together.
A full review.
When... Dimble Dick fucking 69 already gave his fucking 3-sentence opinion and ruined everything anyways. Like, it just totally kills all my fucking motivation, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a kind of a tough spot to be in as a movie reviewer. Although you should continue writing reviews. I know, we still see people asking, like, hey, what'd you think?
I know. It's been rough. It's been rough. I need to get the engines fired back up. The pandemic killed that little bit of joy in me.
Yeah.
It did. It really did. It's hard. And I did go see Wrath of Man, and I have to finish that review. And I actually want to write it because it wasn't a good movie. I love writing bad reviews. I really do. I really need to finish it.
Well, we can continue talking about Warner Media here. As Warner Media is moving these things to HBO Max. But what we see this, what was it? I think yesterday they started to really release some announcements regarding AT&T looking at a $43 billion deal. Looking to merge Warner Media along with Discovery. And it's being received well by most people. Yeah, in my opinion, it's kind of the same concept. Warner Media is still going to be Warner Media. They're going to do their own thing. But I guess the general consensus is that, paired up with Discovery and being teamed up in that with that kind of conglomeration of media companies, but Discovery is a better talent management company, and they're going to be better and kinder to the talent and more respect to the talent. I don't know why people believe that. I guess I don't know enough about Discovery. Is it because they treat their apes on Animal Planet really well?
I don't get why I should care about this. I don't.
I guess that's my tough thing. I keep seeing good things about this. That
they
this
can't
is a
make worse DC
step.
Movies. They can't. And, like,
yeah, I think maybe it's just like the PR team of over at Warner Media and everything else, like just really doing a good job of spinning this. I don't see why this changes the direction.
Well, they kind of need to spin this because, like, all this Joss Whedon shit that's coming out about, you know, Gal Gadot and what he did on the Justice League set. And like, yeah, Warner is not getting a lot of good press on how they treat their talent and what they let slide. So yeah. For them to merge with Discovery and then pivot it as a, we'll treat our talent better by doing this, and we'll have, like, I don't know, it feels weird, but I don't get why I should care. Like, how is this, like, now are you going to change HBO again now? Or are we going to get HBO Plus Max? Like,
HBO Discovery Plus? I don't
know. You know, like, yeah, well, like, what are we talking here?
Yeah, it's...
Or are they trying to compete with Disney Plus? Because Disney Plus has got the National Geographic branch, so they're like, we need British people talking about nature shit on our streaming service. Like,
this is in the end, it's a good move for them to compete with Netflix and Disney Plus to increase their content, their subscriber base. You know, it adds in a bunch of kind of like documentary and news content into Warner Media, into whatever ecosystem they're going to end up settling everything in, whether everything falls under HBO Max or not. Yes, there's a good business decision there. I just don't get why people think this is going to like right the ship for Warner Media. But you know, maybe it has a positive benefit here for like the direction that Warner Media takes their properties that they already own.
Yeah, I don't see it hurting them. I don't see them getting worse.
But let's step out of entertainment here and move on over into some tech news. And first up in tech news, and really the biggest thing we'll probably talk about today is the kind of recapping. Going back over some of this Colonial Pipeline stuff, as we talked last week, it was pretty new in the following the Colonial Pipeline hack. You know, we were barely getting people pouring gasoline into garbage bags when we did our recording last week.
Tupperware bowls, like some of the pictures on the internet, man. Like we saved you from Rona. Like really, like
honestly,
we shut the economy down and the world down to save you from Rona, Mr. Fucking Tupperware gas can. Like, are you fucking serious?
Maybe it's just me having a little hope for humanity, or it's me just really not wanting to accept the truth about humanity. But I feel like half of those have to be fake. I feel like half of those, like I saw somebody with like a picture of somebody with like a laundry basket filling with gasoline. Like there's holes on the side of this thing. You know what I mean? Like I feel like those, they have to be people just like trolling the internet to go viral for just funsies. There's no way that these people are actually real human beings.
No, they're like, I've seen stupidity out in the wild and like, this does not shock me. It does not shock me.
No, I mean, like I said, this is my blind faith in humanity, or hoping for some level of faith in humanity, and yeah, just not wanting to accept how bad it is out there in the real world. But you know, not to continue down that story, we'll continue down like what the actual tech side of it is, and you know, part of that being that supposedly, you know, reports were coming out this week that you know, Colonial Pipeline in fact did pay a ransom. And man, to shut down a pipeline for the entire kind of East Coast, if you would have asked me what that dollar amount would have been in ransom, I wouldn't have even been close. Have you seen the ransom number yet?
What
they supposedly paid.
$5 million, right?
$5 million. That's nothing. to have the effect that it had, that seems a bit small.
Well, I mean, so we might as well throw the second story that involves this into this conversation, which is the fact that the hack actually didn't shut the pipeline down. What the hack actually did was shut down their ability to bill for the gasoline and oil going through the pipeline.
Yeah, it shut down their corporate systems, not their operation systems.
Yeah, so the pipeline was actually manually shut down so that the company didn't lose out on funds because they were giving away free oil. So to realize that like there's a large section of the country just going pandemic toilet paper ape shit right now on gasoline because of a $5 million ransom, and the fact that a gas company just didn't want to lose out on X amount of millions of dollars of oil for however long it took them to reply to this.
Yeah.
It seems a little like petty in the long game, in the grand scheme of everything.
Yeah, it really does. And yeah, I guess I just like I don't both of these sides of the stories, right? The $5 million ransom just seems small. And, you know, from a lot of analysts' perspective, it seems like the people who, you know, DarkSide was who got the credit for it, but DarkSide just sells the ransomware to other companies that then use it. And it seems as though who DarkSide let use it was really like amateur hour. And they just didn't, like, they didn't, and that's what a lot of, like, different articles I've read as far as, like, technical analysis, the people who attacked Colonial Pipeline, they knew that they were attacking a big company that had money on their balance sheet that they could exploit, but they didn't foresee the impact on the infrastructure that they had. It had a completely disproportionate response to what they expected here. And then, yeah, the whole concept of what the company decisions made to essentially shut down the entire pipeline, which then obviously takes a long time to get restarted back up, and like being willing to disrupt essentially what is, you know, privatized national infrastructure because you can't accurately bill people, or like you have to bill people by like hand with paper, you know, with paper receipts, and then hope that, you know, everything kind of balances out in the end, and you weren't willing to go that route. If that's true, which these are all kind of, you know, reports and some internal people leaking things to the news, if that's true, like, man, that is so sad for our infrastructure that it's in the hands of these companies that can make just pure bottom line decisions and just say, we don't care how many businesses are going to cripple because of a lack of access to our fuel. We don't care about how many citizens and stuff are going to freak out and lose their shit. We're going to just protect our ability to not pay a $5 million ransom and to, you know, properly bill all of our clients for a day.
And again, like... This is another societal failure. Like, how does the government just not be in a position to just say, no, let the oil flow. We'll quantify how much money you missed out on. We'll reimburse you because the downsides of shutting this pipeline down so you can get your shit together is far greater than the $60 million you might lose. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know what number it is, you know, but like, what are we talking about here? Like, we're writing $1 trillion stimulus bills, but we're letting this shit get shut down over cents on the dollar when it comes to that shit.
Yeah, it's wild. This whole story is nuts about, again, you know, whatever perspective you want, on the individual citizen's perspective, on the corporate kind of greed perspective, or just the failings of our nation's infrastructure and cybersecurity. All of it is just been shown to be a complete shit show. So no real solutions here. I don't really have a soapbox to get on about how to fix this problem and how to address this.
I'm not that dude.
Yeah, it's really just a more challenges that need to be addressed, and you know, a kind of failing, you know, privatized infrastructure that we have around. What is essentially a pretty essential fuel that this country kind of thrives off of here.
Yeah, like, again, this is just shining a big spotlight, you know, on just how to fuck up our country really easily. like this is just a great way to cause chaos, you know. Like, if Bin Laden was alive right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, he would just be sitting by the TV, just taking notes and like, all right, like, see all this shit going on that's happened over the span of like 3 years. We're going to do it in like 2 days. Like, we're going to set up all our pieces. And in 5 years from now, we're going to have everybody kind of scattered around in rooms. And then I'm going to say, Durka Durka, and we're going to fucking do all this shit in one day. Like, and then our country's fucked.
I mean,
did I just write the next? Wrong. Did I just write the next Fast and Furious 10?
it wouldn't be any worse than the current screenplays. But yeah, either way, it's a tough situation. No real fix. I'm sure there's going to be more information coming out about this this hack in the future. You know, I think today the pipeline was down temporarily again today. They promised it was not due to a hack today. It was just their own incompetence. So I guess that's good news. But let's move on to just some crazy crypto news. And
I thought of a fun game to play with this one. So I didn't even tell you about it because I wanted to get your just natural reaction. So let's run this.
Do I need to set up the story first, or are you just going to
let's
the
set
game?
Up the story. Let's set up the all story.
Right. I mean, so the story is, man, like Elon is just the puppet master of the crypto world, apparently. And there's lots of headlines coming out this last week about Elon sending Dogecoin up temporarily, crushing Bitcoin by saying that Tesla was no longer going to accept Bitcoin, although he initially said he was going to maintain his holdings in Bitcoin, but they were just going to stop accepting payment because of Bitcoin's terrible impact on the environment, which, okay, that's an argument to be had. Although he lived on the other side of that argument about 2 weeks ago and talked about how Bitcoin was not actually as detrimental to the environment as people have claimed it to be. And then Bitcoin since has been on a complete crush. He even then later comes out and really kind of hints at the fact that Tesla might be getting out of the Bitcoin holding game. I think, I'll check right now. While we're in this show, Bitcoin's
is it below 40?
Big slide. It's at 39,200 right now.
No, it went below 40. I was watching it. I was like, man, it's gonna break 40. That's gonna hurt.
So Bitcoin's still on this huge slide, which the entire crypto market cap lives off of Bitcoin. Bitcoin slides. 99% of all the altcoins slide.
Not my girl Ada. Not my girl Ada.
Oh, you've lost your mind. Ada has lost 25% in the last 5 hours.
She went up. So, she went up 100 in the last 3 days.
I mean, it still drops to 1.6 right now. Everything's on a big slide, and really, the big news was around Bitcoin getting, essentially marginalized or pushed as a non supportable asset, and that causes a slide, and that causes the entire strength of the crypto industry to slide, and it continues to go down.
So I want to play a little fun game here. I want to let's do some therapeutic role play. I'm going to be good altruistic Elon. You be Lex Luthor Elon. Okay. So he has to have some kind of motivation behind all this, right? Like, so giving him the benefit of the doubt, I will be good Elon and say that, yes, I was honest about the energy consumption. Bitcoin is a drain on the energy usage, and there are way more efficient coins, one of them being Dogecoin. I feel that Dogecoin, with its price level and abundancy, is very easily for the regular man to invest in, and has a greater upside to smaller investors, i.e. the people, it meaning why I call it the people's coin. I feel that ever since my company invested in Bitcoin, you see other large hedge funds and corporations investing in Bitcoin, and now it's become more of a corporate coin used to make more profits and do tax avoidance and other things. And I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution, but I also don't want to leave a bunch of people, innocent people, holding the bag on Bitcoin. So I'll make a few statements and let Bitcoin come tumbling down slowly, so you have a chance to get your money out and invest it in a coin I believe in, that I will be literally shooting to the moon in a satellite paid for by Dogecoin. To me, that is like the benefit of the doubt version. Like, okay, maybe he's doing this for good reasons. Like that could be a valid thing that I just kind of laid out, that maybe he's not an insane dick. Like so you go ahead and shit on the world with evil Elon.
So yeah, I'll go with evil Elon, and I'll say evil Elon woke up a couple of days ago, and he saw that crazy headline that Jeff Bezos just bought is building a new yacht for $500 million. And he thought, that son of a bitch. You know what I need? I need a little more money. And I'm going to go build way more than that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to slowly tweet out my opinion on Bitcoin, knowing that it's going to have, at a minimum, probably a 25% decline. I'm going to trickle my way out of it, and my holdings out of Tesla out of it. My personal holdings, nobody knows where that's at. And I also recognize that I can at least slow or stop this anytime I want by simply getting people back their confidence into crypto and swearing that I'm going to support it again. But I'm going to wait until, well, right now we're sitting at about 40% decline. So it's really hurting the average people who just didn't know I was going to tweet this. But that's okay, because I'm going to get back in and everybody's going to champion me the next time I send up a rocket or do whatever else. So who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And I just got done with SNL, so everybody loves me.
This is so fucked. It's so fucked. Did we talk about the creator of Ethereum pulling all his tokens last week too? Did we actually go over that story?
We didn't. We did not talk over that story. What was that?
Shiba Inu. And a few other coins too. It was he liquidated Shiba Inu, and then three other coins he didn't liquidate. He transferred them into Ethereum and then gave that Ethereum away. So real quick, I don't have the show notes in front of me, or the notes for this article in front of me, but the creator of Ethereum, somebody that I can't remember because I smoke pot. he has a public crypto wallet where crypto creators can just send him free tokens. Like it's like, here's my address, give me free monies. I don't know what kind of fame you need to hit that point, but if I need to post my Cash App scan thing, I'll post my Cash App scan thing. Y'all can send me free monies. I'm down with that shit too. So the creators of Shiba Inu and a couple other these shit tokens sent him trillions of tokens, hoping that it would help booster their market. Shiba did go up. It went up quite a bit for, you know, relatively the last couple of days. And so did some other of these low no-name tokens. And because they were on, rumor is, because they're on the Ethereum network, they were driving up the gas prices for Ethereum. You know, anytime you wanted to sell or buy Ethereum, you got to pay the gas. And those rates have been getting outrageous, because there's a lot of these tokens on the Ethereum blockchain clogging everything up, making it expensive. So to stop that, he sold off all the free tokens that people gave him, took the profits, and then donated them to charity in some kind of like futuristic crypto Robin Hood kind of shit. You know, not going to lie, I lost a little bit of money on Shiba Inu. To be honest, knowing that the money I lost on it because of him got donated to charity, I really don't feel that bad about it. He actually really did kind of a decent thing. If he just did it to profit, yeah, I'd be kind of really pissed. But he's like, look, man, I'm going to tank these shit tokens and I'm going to just give the money to charity. So if you lost some money on these tokens, just feel better about yourself because you just helped somebody. Like, you did a good thing. And it's like, actually, yeah, no, you're right. Like, okay, I don't feel so bad about it. But like, yeah, this is two people, two humans, totally like manipulating this unregulated wild, wild west investment branch of money. And it is insane. The power they wield in a tweet or a just moving money around. It is absolutely insane.
It is. And it does nothing but wound the mass adoption of cryptocurrency in the future, as you know, these massive sways that can happen, which, you know, seemingly seem to just follow the whim of a tech CEO.
But is this really new? Because, like, I mean, Warren Buffett farts and the market moves.
It does not move 40%. It doesn't move 40% in a 12-hour span, right? No, like, that's the level that, Yeah, you can go to sleep. Elon makes a tweet. You can wake up the next morning.
Broke as hell.
25% down.
Broke as hell.
And that's where it's at. And it definitely makes, as I'm a fan of cryptocurrency lately and the direction that I think it can go. And then every time something like this happens, it reminds me why I was so skeptical of it so long, of cryptocurrency for so long. Just because, like, these type of events that don't, you know, it just doesn't seem to justify this, the whole ecosystem of it, and this concept of, you know, this decentralized currency that doesn't have the problems of fiat and everything else. And it's kind of like, well, maybe it's decentralized, but, like, I don't know, maybe Elon's a little too central to this whole success, right? Like, maybe he doesn't control it, but he's a little too central to the overall swaying and direction of this.
Yeah, I just know that there's a lot of trust funds that got depleted over the last week. A lot of crypto bros that got, you know, hand-me-down money that they put in this shit, thinking they were all day traders and all, you know, all these David Portnoy wannabes. Like, the motherfuckers got hit this week.
Well, we'll see where it rebounds to, or maybe this is the start of the bear market, and we'll see where things shake out a month from now, as everything's down to 30% of what its highs were. We'll see if this continues to slide, if this is the start of kind of that super bear market. But we'll talk about it next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, people went from diamond hands to coal hands real fast, motherfuckers. Real fast.
All right, let's move off of this crypto thing.
Reverse these on the outline. We got to save that the next one for our last story. Right. We always end on a happy, positive note.
Yeah, I mean, we can do the space thing. You know, space news. Yeah, just an unfortunate instance. We had two major Earth observation satellites that were getting sent up, lost, dead, in a rocket lab issue. So, unfortunately, malfunction. We now lose some interesting, like, very very high tech Earth observation satellites.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot of money, and you know, it's never good to see these things go up. But then again, it wasn't people, right? like we can at least say, you know, like, anytime this shit used to happen, there was a human cost to it. You know, like. Could be worse. I'm gonna say glass half full on this one.
Yeah, but it goes to show that, I guess, you know, flying rockets and satellites still aren't that easy. Here we've got Rocket Lab failing to get these two up, and then a day later, you know, Elon launches another 56 satellites for Starlink successfully.
Yeah, it's not commercial airline, you know, air travel, like, where we just have thousands of planes taking off and landing every day. Like, no, there's still a lot of shit that goes into shooting these motherfuckers into outer space.
Yeah, but, you know, and then, you know, we've got kind of the flight plans and stuff coming this week, this last week, information about the flight plan for the next Starship launch, which is, you know, incredibly excited for it being launched. The plan is to launch it up out of their normal base out of Texas, and have it float up and just kind of let the Earth spin around and land it down in Hawaii. So that's the next major Starship test after they finally landed one without it exploding. And looking forward to this kind of almost all the way around the world kind of flight that they've got coming up here soon. So we'll see how fast they can kind of redeploy Starship 15, SN15, and get that up in the air from Texas and let the Earth rotate underneath it and drop it back down in Hawaii.
I'm just getting really excited. We're getting closer and closer to the actual, like, first initial, like, Dragon launch. Like, I'm getting really pumped up to, you know, hopefully in another year we'll see that happen.
Yeah. Well, now let's just do the last story here,
because I love this story.
And you know, if you've been listening to us for any period of time, you've heard us talk about Twitch Monkey.
Hashtag Twitch Monkey, get it going.
And that's Neuralink's monkey that was tested a couple months ago using the Neuralink and then programming it to be able to play Pong with a monkey with some banana smoothie being taught how to play Pong with its brain. And then recently we've had some success with other systems, not Neuralink, but other brain interface systems that have assisted paralyzed individuals. Most recently, one that was able to allow individuals to paralyzed individuals to type, so be able to kind of mentally visualize and think about what words they wanted to type out, and the system was able to do it. And what we get here is a paralyzed individual challenging Twitch Monkey to a game of Pong.
I love it. I love this is the battle the world needs. Like, I cannot express how bad I want to watch this battle go on. Like, yeah, not only is it a battle of crazy ass brain interfaces, but it's also human versus chimp, which is always a great battle to watch in any aspect whatsoever. I don't care if it's got brain interfaces. I don't care if it's roller derby, dodgeball. Like, you put a human against a chimp in anything, I am tuning in. All right. Now you throw crazy sci-fi into it. Fuck, man. I am all for this.
Well, and the truth is, if Elon can pull this off, we'll all forget about the Bitcoin stuff. Yeah. We'll all fall back in love with him. He'll Twitch shoot up another
Twitch Monkey versus human, sponsored by Dogecoin.
Yeah, he'll shoot up a rocket from Texas, land it in Hawaii, have a Twitch Monkey versus paralyzed human Pong match.
Smoke a joint with Rogan.
Yeah, we'll all forget until the next time we lose 40% of our income.
I'm not gonna lie though. I'm a little disappointed that Pong has been like the standard of any kind of like video game to like brain interface or animal kind of like interaction. Like, why is Pong the game that they go to? Like, can we upgrade from Atari yet? Like, I understand that the ones and zeros probably matter and it's got to be something simplistic to program, you know, but can we get an 8-bit emulator in here? Right, you know, can we get brain Tetris now? Can we get brain Excitebike? Like, give me something other than Pong. Like, we're it's 2021, and the video game that we're using to test out these interfaces is from like 1976.
Like, oh man, you are hard to please. Like, let's just say nothing is good enough for Steve here. Like, let's crack simple up and down before we worry about any other
have a generation and a half, if not two generations, that when you say the word Pong don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Okay. like go ask somebody 16 years old and ask them if they know what Pong is. They probably think it's a new fucking vitamin water or some shit.
Fair enough, but still, let's just be excited for what we've got here.
I started with my excitement, and then I led into my minor disappointment.
All right, you said we were going to end in a happy story. You still ruined it in the end. either way.
I just posed a question.
Get out of here. We'll maybe throw that on the Nerd Cantina along with our poll of what superhero, what comic book characters have been ruined on the screen worse than apparently Venom.
Just give me 8-bit. That's all I want is 8-bit.
We'll throw that out up there and say, you know, what should be the next game past Pong that we brain interface our way to success here?
Fucking Galaga. Like, something.
Galaga's probably doable. I mean, as long as it's only got really one plane of movement, I think they can handle that right now.
Or what was the game where you slid the bar back and forth and the ball bounced off it and broke all the bricks?
Ooh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't know what the name of that is, but I'd rather see him play that game.
I want to say it's just like Brick Breaker. I think we were overthinking this, but
no. Nah, it had a different name. I'm pretty sure it had a different
name.
That's
my bootleg one on like the Play Store.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. This is a weekend news.
That's how you stretch an hour, folks.
you get 8 minutes of trash talking snake eyes. You get
we made sure you get your money's worth.
But it's a lot going on in in some news here. Let us know what you think over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join us over the Facebook group. We will put that poll out there. Let's hear what comic book characters were your favorite that got ruined somewhere along the way. And let's debate on which ones were the best or worst renditions. And as always, just give us any support you can, whether that's sharing it with a friend, give us a rating review, anything to help grow the audience, get some more people to tune in is always a big help. And with all that said, that's a week. And we'll talk to you next time, nerds.
See you next week.